Now you're most welcome back to the programme. Bobby here with you all the way till 12 o'clock. We're winning back the High Street, live from Finlayers and Howth here. It's a wonderful morning, wonderful people, and in the beautiful village of Howth. Yes. Delighted to be joined now by a broadcasting legend who can be heard blasting out off your radios on weekday mornings. Today FM presenter Ian Dempsey, so welcome to the show, Ian. Thanks
Thank
for coming
you very
over.
Much indeed. Nice to see you,
Bobby. Really nice to see you. Yeah.
And it's brilliant. I mean, Shane O'Doherty, I know Shane since I was very, very young. He was a very good friend and is a very good friend of my wife's. Henri Blaney. Now, these are all legends. These people are amazing. I know you're just meeting them maybe for the first time.
Well, when I saw...
Fergal Quinn, who must have even inspired you.
He certainly did.
What a guy.
He certainly did.
And sounded great.
But when I saw you...
Sorry, and Jim Fitzpatrick, can I just correct you on one thing? The pair of you were there going, oh, was it 1972 or 1973 for Jailbreak? Jailbreak was 1976.
There you go. I lost
so you're
3 years
aging yourselves.
Because I saw Thin Lizzy in the Carlton Ballroom in Kilkenny in 1974, I think it was.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Nice,
so anyway, heady days, as they say. Listen to me, you're 20 years next year, is it, with Today FM?
I am. I'm actually, people still come up to me and say, how are you getting on at that new place? And I'm actually there longer than I ever was in RTE.
That's incredible.
You know what I mean? Which is
yeah.
It's weird.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm 20 years next year, and I think it was the best decision I ever made. It was like, it was a big decision at the time. I was under 40 at the time, and I felt that if I went past the 40 mark, I would probably say, nah, no, I'm not going to do it. I'm settled. But
well, also, when you think back to those years that, you know, I suppose commercial radio was a relatively new phenomenon, and it would have been, you would have been leaving the big pensionable job,
exactly,
as your mother
would
have called it.
Exactly. But I have gone back from time to time, and, you know, I love all the people out there, and the people in RTE are great, but you do see some of the same people, and their hair has just got a bit greyer. They've got either a bit wider or a bit skinnier, and they seem to be still walking the same tracks that I remember walking before. So it was a new thing. There was a hunger, and there was a kind of a younger group of people, and everybody was willing to try things out and to fail. And then when they failed, they would say, well, let's try this instead.
Yeah.
You know, whereas I suppose with something that's more established, they say, well, we don't do it like that around here. You know.
And so you also, Ian, you juggled as well very successfully the TV radio bit.
Yes.
With the Den, with Zig and Zag. Yeah. Was it easy to leave that bit behind?
Yeah, I mean, my first love has always been radio, and even since I was 6 or 7 years of age, you know, I was just big into radio. So the TV thing was kind of a bit of an ixer, to be honest with you.
Right, okay.
But I did enjoy it, and it was great. But the TV, there's so many more people dependent on you getting it right, whereas radio, you've got a bit more control. As I know, you're a bit of a control freak, so
yeah,
I know that, you know.
About that. Now, listen, we have something in common that I wanted to share with you.
Yes.
We were both rejected on The Restaurant.
In terms of
we were disappointed with our star
we
ratings.
We were, yes. I got two, but I never actually...
And I got three, and
did you? You got three?
Four.
Oh, yeah. Look at you.
And I was really pissed off with Francis Brennan.
Yeah, Francis Brennan.
He was the judge the day I was on.
Was he?
Yeah.
Francis
Felt
Brennan.
Felt he did me a disservice,
my
but anyway.
God. Yeah, well, the only thing I have is that Tommy Bowe got two as well, so I feel, okay, well, he's a bit of a legend, you know, so that's pretty okay.
They didn't like your sliders. What was
they
wrong
didn't,
with
yeah,
them?
I just went a bit simple. I mean, the recession had kicked in. I was saying, you know, let's do things that people can afford, that people can do simply. I did sliders. I did some sort of a kind of a chowdery thing, and I kind of based it on... I suppose things that I had kind of picked up down through the years, and I had eaten myself, and I tried to recreate them. But
isn't that, and that's one of the great things about you, is that you're willing to be yourself,
willing to make an Egypt of
myself.
I think honesty and being yourself. I did present the worst quiz show of all time on television called Talk About, which was the prize. Hey, see,
somebody
still
one
or two left, eh? The prize was you got a dictionary if you won, like, you know. So, I mean, pretty crap now, you know. So.
Tell me about being an early morning person over the years, in terms of getting up at whatever it is, 4:10 or 4:30 every morning.
Five o'clock. I have it down to a fine art now. O'clock. Yeah, so not too bad. And I mean, when I started doing it, which was a long, long time ago, I used to do it in RTE, and I still do it now Today FM. You used to be able to break the lights a lot. You know what I mean? Going in, and there was nobody around. Nobody would see. You might see one or two taxi drivers. Now there's actual traffic jams at 6 o'clock in the morning going in. So the world has changed big time. And it's easy enough. I mean, my mother would have told you that when I was growing up, you know, to get me out of bed by about 1 o'clock in the afternoon was you know, an achievement. Whereas I nowadays, I mean, my body has obviously got into a rhythm, and I do nap in the afternoon. I get up, try to get about an hour and a half in the afternoon, and I feel that's my civil right, so nobody's going to.
And what time do you wake up in at the weekend?
At the weekend, well, when Bobby Kerr asked me to come up to host, I normally wake up at about 9 o'clock in the morning on a Saturday. But I did get up nice and early and had a few Super Quinn sausages, and you know, so which are still available in Super Value, by the way, and indeed in Centro up in Main Street and Home Street.
Go.
It's good, yes.
Fergal Quinn had a word in his ear. Tell me about, do you feel any kind of responsibility to be upbeat and positive in the morning? Or do you feel just I'll be myself and see how it kind of works? How do you approach the
Well,
day?
I am kind of, I'm a positive thinker anyway. So I do try, my mother always taught me to try and see the good in other people.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so I try and see the good in any situation. Now, sometimes that can be irritating for people at that hour of the morning. Where it says, what the hell is your man saying? But I do try and be as upbeat as possible. And I mean, you do bear in mind that unlike news talk where you have to talk all the time, I've got a 3-4 minute record, so I can be nasty and angry
and
while the records
David
are
Bowie
playing.
Songs.
Yeah, exactly. Play a bit of David Bowie and then come back on and try and be as chirpy as possible. But I still enjoy it, and I've said this loads of times. I'm like Tigger out of Winnie the Pooh first thing in the morning. At 5 o'clock in the morning, when I have a phone on the other side of my bedroom, which I have to run over and get rather than the alarm clock because I just probably press snooze. But I actually leap out of the bed in the morning, and I'm obviously happy doing what
it's
I do.
Great,
you know,
way
so.
Great way to be. Great way to be. And again, as you say, you're naturally happy on air, and I think that comes across, which is absolutely fantastic. You've, I know.
So are you, Bobby?
Well, we do our best. We do our best. The type 2 diabetes, you had a bit of a run with that. Is that all gone and you've lost loads of weight?
No, that's all still there. And
you just manage that, do you?
Yeah, and I mean, I have to take one injection every day. And people say, oh, that's not type 2, that's type 1. That is type 2. I keep saying that to my professor who I go to every 6 months. And I say, everybody tells me that you don't have to inject if you're on type 2. And he says, oh, you do. So I do one. I have to do that once a day. And I just have to kind of look after myself. Now, I look after myself most of the time, but I do enjoy
we've got to live life here.
Everything in moderation, isn't that what they say?
Yeah, I know, we've got to live a life.
Yeah.
Just finally then, being of these parts, is there a big rivalry between Sutton and Howth? Is it almost like we heard the mistake of mentioning Baldoyle or something like that? Or
well, actually, when I was coming in there, there were a lot of guys down there from Kilbarrack, and they were saying, who's this Bobby guy? We're going to talk to him afterwards.
A bogger from Kilkenny. Well, look, you're a true gent, Ian.
I said he's got a beard and he's wearing a hat. So you'll be all right.
Long hair and a pony.
Yeah. But Sutton and Holt, I mean, when the sun is shining down in Sutton, you know, that's where I live. We sometimes say, oh, it must be terrible for those people up there in Howth because there's always a mist over there. Isn't that right, Jess? Well, Howth is a magnificent place. The one thing I'd say about it, I don't know what the politics or what the situation is with I can't understand why there's not a hotel in here.
Yeah, no.
Absolutely. And there's the Bailey Court Hotel up there on Main Street right now. I don't know who owns it. I don't know what the story is. But there's a Dart coming straight to here.
Yeah.
It's beside the airport. You can get the Dart into town if you want to do what you do. There's so many restaurants on the West Pier. There's East on the East Pier. There's all kinds of fantastic restaurants, great facilities, the sailing club, the yachts, everything. You know, it's all there.
But you're right when you say that. I believe there were 5 hotels here at one time.
And there were a couple of banks and there were loads of petrol stations. And, you know, but having said that, I think that if they put gates down at Sutton Cross and lock, I think the people on this peninsula could actually survive. There's a great.
There you go. Ian Dempsey, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you.
One of the true gents of Irish radio.
Thank you, Bobby.
Pleasure to have him here with us today. Now, I'm going to talk to another couple of people in the audience. I wanted to talk to Robin Blandford. Is it Robin here? Robin, how are you?
Yep, hi.
First, I have to thank you for taking me out and getting me home safely. Robin was the cox of our boat when we went out on the Rib earlier on in with the Irish Coast Guard. And thank you very much for that. But I want to ask you about your business, Robin, which is you're the CEO of D4H Technologies. Tell us what you do and where you're located, more importantly.
Yeah, so we do software for readiness and response of emergency response teams. So we help typically North American SWAT teams, bomb squads, search and rescue, disaster response, be ready to respond to an incident. To make a unique office, we rented the Bailey Lighthouse,
which
is a really unique office. And, you know, I have a great team up there, and if you're going to understand and walk in your customer's shoes, it's coming in winter with waves breaking over your head.
Amazing.
As they get into the office. So yeah, it's a fantastic spot.
And the access out there and all that, if you have a meeting out there, do people have to kind of scale down the cliff, or what's the story?
It's unique. They park on a disused helipad.
Yeah.
It's private land up at the lighthouse, but you can get down to it for sure.
Okay, we've got a poem now from Don Harris, is going to read a little quotation for us. Don, you're very welcome to the programme.
Thanks, Bobby. Well, this comes from Vincent McBriarty's book, The Howth Peninsula. It was written in the 80s, but T.P. O'Rourke produced the Howth Review in the 1940s. And as it happens, he sent a copy to George Bernard Shaw. And Shaw replied on the 20th of July, 1947, and this is what he said. Why on earth should not the Howth Peninsula have its review, or even its daily times? In my boyhood, I contemplated it across the bay from Dawkey Hill, and at night saw the Old Bailey light and the Kishbank twinkler. Go ahead, waking Howth up. Ireland's eye is upon you. George Bernard Shaw.
There you go. Thank you very much, Don. Don Harris, ladies and gentlemen. Okay, loads more to come. Stay with us. Executive Chair, music still to come. Stay with us.